Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go. Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of Feeling Good with Duddy. As always, I have my brother, Mr. Jake Bushnell, here.
Hello.
And back by fan-requested demand, we have my good friend and manager, Mr. Mike Brown. Cheese, what's up?
Hola, as the Spaniards say.
Wait, is this the first episode again?
Did I say that the same time?
Yeah.
Can we recut that? What the fuck, folks?
What up, fam?
Wait, oh, no, I don't use that word.
Oh, God,
I hate when people say that.
One of my pet peeves. If anyone ever says that to you, they're never your family.
Oh, it's, totally.
It's always some totally. Asshat you've never met. What up, fam? You're like,
yeah. Yeah, no, I ain't your fam. You know what else I hate? I don't mean to fucking ruin the show already, but I hate when people say, I love you. Like,
you barely met or something?
Yeah. Love you. I know Ron Carey, you're probably listening to this right now.
But she loves you.
Preempted, I love
you. I do love you, but I hate when you tell me that because I only love few things.
What are those few things?
I can't get into it because I'll just piss a lot of other people off.
All right. So
we just hijacked Duddy's show out the gate.
I'm sorry, Duddy. Go ahead.
Feeling good with Duddy. Yeah. You know what I hate? When people tell me they love me.
Oh, I know. Oh,
yeah,
huh?
I did. We can just scratch all this. No, we start ain't scratching over. Shit. I'm sorry. I just didn't mean to start out so negative.
No, it's all good. People love you. And I'll end it on a good that note of people love you, Cheese, you know, you got such a great reaction from the very first episode that I had to get you back. And knowing that I was getting you back, I actually asked people to send me any questions they might have for you.
Oh, shit.
So I just want to start off by one, and this wasn't by any specific person. This was actually by so many people asked this question that I just thought, I'll start out with here. Let's start here.
Hey, I'm kind of anxiety already. Can we light that joint?
Let's light this up. I'm going to ask you the question, then I'm going to light this up.
Can we do it the other way around?
Anxietal.
Well, how about I do it at the same time?
What did I say?
That's what you said. Oh, I thought it was awesome.
I thought I said anxiety or something.
It's a quick question.
Okay, go.
How did you get your start in the music business?
Oh, it's lame. I started out as a guitar player, and I played in some punk bands back in the late 70s, early 80s. And then I was always the guy in my band that was like, I booked all the shows. I did everything. I was the business guy in all my bands. So I got to a point in my life where the business was more successful than my bands. And I started helping out other bands and getting them signed, getting record deals and stuff. And I should have done a lot earlier. I wasn't that smart. I could have managed a lot of big bands that I helped get started. But then the first real devoted management client that I had, you ready for this? Because it's not what you think, because people associate me with, you know, Danzig and Guns N' Roses and Korn and stuff like that. But my first management client was, I think you know this.
I think we're alone now.
Blondie,
yep. Tiffany.
Tiffany, oh, not Tiffany. Blondie. Sorry, I wish Blondie. Yeah, oh, Tiffany. I don't. It's not that I don't wish Tiffany. I love Tiffany. She's awesome. They're on tour right now with New Kids on the Block. Go out and see them.
I may have gotten my very first boner to that song. I think we're alone now. You're just like, oh,
the
my
lyrics
God.
Were about Duddy at that moment. I think I'm alone.
Yeah, that's what I felt.
Got
like.
A little boner and it's coming. So right, you were what you were doing. You were, I think I remember this. You were like,
did you ever catch Duddy beating off when he was a kid?
No. Never tried. Never. I wasn't a guy who would like bust into your door and I'd be like, oh, what's going on in there?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you're good. But what I think you were flying to Europe with her, right? What was going on was this wasn't prime Tiffany years. She was like in the 80s. But
yeah.
She was still big in Europe, right?
Yeah.
And you were taking her over there. She'd go to a club and play like two fucking songs and dip.
Three songs a track. We get 10,000 pounds, jump in the Maybach van and go to the next city about an hour away and do three more songs and get another 10,000 pounds. Party till 8 in the morning, go to bed, and start all over at 4.
Yeah, when you're Tiffany or a pop star, you don't need a band. You show up, the track. DJ spins the track, you sing the three songs, everyone in the club, oh my fucking God, you know, and then off to the next.
It was in the 90s.
In the 90s.
Got her on the cover of Playboy.
Boom.
There you go.
Yeah. Wait, yeah. I think I remember that.
Yeah,
she had red hair on there?
Yeah. So there you go.
Good work. When's Duddy going to be on Playboy?
I don't think the internet is ready for that.
Where's Jared? Get him on there. You know what? Matty O
would do it.
Matty O. Oh, yeah.
Playgirl.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a looker.
Dude.
Young stud.
Imagine that guy just in like a fireman outfit.
Oh boy.
Shirt like unbuttoned.
Okay, I'm with you. Continue.
Like a little bit wet.
Oh, just because probably saving people in fiery.
The fire alarm went off, so the sprinklers are raining down on him.
Of course.
You know?
Or he's just got a little bit of dew on him.
And he's got his pants sort of unbuttoned.
Oh, whoops.
Whoa, uh-oh.
Oopsie. Why not?
Guard your ring, Matt. Yeah. We all heard what Cheese likes to do.
No, you know what? I all the time think about Matt. And when, you know, what's that Tom Cruise movie where he sings?
Cocktail?
Not where Cocktail.
Slides out.
Slides out on the floor.
That's cocktail, dude.
No, that's not Cocktail. No. That's one where... He hooked
Ashton
up.
Knows what is it?
Risky business.
Business. He looks just like Tom Cruise in that.
He is a young Tom Cruise.
So I picture Matt sliding across my floor in his underpanties all the time.
I wasn't picturing it before, but I am now.
See?
I like what I'm seeing.
See? Matto, there
just
you go.
Take you're, those old records right
off the shelf. Yeah, there you go. Matty-o, you're welcome. That's all
feeling
I can say.
Feeling good with Duddy.
Yeah, that makes you feel good already. Like, we're all laughing.
Dang, it doesn't take long to feel good around here.
Everybody's feeling good, but Matty-o right now, he's on his way over here to kick my ass.
Slide in with his undies on and just karate the shit out of you.
That would be awesome if he just slid in on his underpants and punched me in the face and left.
Oh, I would love nothing more. I would pay endless amounts of money to see that.
Oh, well, Matty would take it.
Let's talk about something good, since I know we're going to talk about probably some bad shit here today with Cheese. So
first part of the show, exactly how we planned it. Good job, boys.
Yeah, never seems to go as we planned. But we always try to have some sort of underlying subject on this show about feeling good. This show is called Feeling Good with Duddy. So we want to talk about things that make you feel good. And today our subject is going to be loyalty. Since I have Cheese here with me, we've been with each other for a long time, you know, worked with each other and through that become very close friends. And I would say he's my fam.
Oh, you had me right until then.
And I would say I love you, Cheese.
Well, you both can say I love you because I love you both, and I love you too, Ron Carey.
There you go. Now we're starting to feel good.
But the fam thing. You guys are like my family. In fact, this whole thing, I mean, the way we all came up together, Jake, everybody, it's like – it is like a family. You guys literally, with Jared and John, everybody grew up together. And then I met you guys when you were just like 19 or 20. So,
yep.
So it is family. And I've watched you guys grow. I watched you, you know, like when Jared lived in his mom's house. And then 2 weeks ago, he got his own place. No, I'm joking. But Jared lived in his mom's, and you just moved out, and you had the flood. Remember when the flood in the house and all these things? And right before I met you, you were working – like at the surf shop or John's coffee shop or something.
I think I was a waiter at the time, and then I went. Yeah. And I was working at the school district.
School district. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. I was working with like troubled kids.
Yeah.
And I was doing one-on-one with like autistic kids for a while.
Yep.
I actually loved that job. That was amazing. I absolutely loved that job. But so back to what we were talking about and loyalty. That's okay. And you know, not only loyal to other people, but you also have to be loyal to yourself. You have to like be true to yourself, and you got to stick to your guns sometimes. And when you're working with a team and you trust these people and you're loyal to them and they're putting their trust in you and they're loyal to you, you really have to kind of stand by that, you know. And in that, you have to stick to your guns and be true to yourself, but that's not that you can't be closed-minded while doing that. So yes, be true to yourself, but at the same time, that doesn't mean just being a closed-minded person. You still have to be open to listening to what these people that you trust in and that you're loyal to are saying, because yes, be true to yourself and, you know, believe in your gut, but at the end of the day, sometimes someone might say something that you're like, oh wow, you're right. That's actually a great idea. So, you know, loyalty, be loyal to other people. But at the same time, you have to be loyal to yourself and just trust in what you believe in, you know, and that's kind of that's the subject today.
I think that's a great subject because it's that kind of believing in each other and teamwork and stuff. Everybody always asks me, it's like, oh, you've done really well in life. You've done. How did you do it? And no matter what it was that I did because I had other people to help me that believed in me and they were loyal and stuff. And so it's kind of neat to have that kind of be in that situation. And you're in it whether you know it or not, and anything you enter into, you're only as good as like your weakest member.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I mean, I don't think you ever want to be in a situation, and I think at one point in our lives, maybe we all have, where we've been involved in something, if it's a, you know, a sports team, a company, even a friendship, where you're just like, God, I'm not sure about this guy or this business, where it's going, or I'm, you know, it's just whatever it is in your life. I'm sure you've continued, you know, for years and years of doing something with someone who you're kind of like, I don't really know about this. I don't trust this guy. I'm not too loyal to this guy. And then it doesn't really fan out. So it's kind of that goes back to, you know, being true to yourself, if you've got those gut feelings and it's just not feeling right, don't drag yourself out. One, figure out if it is or not. Get to the bottom of why you feel that way, because you might be wrong. You might have jumped to, you know, an assumption that was just that, and you didn't really, you know, get to the actual answer. You just, that's how you felt. But get to that. Find
well,
the actual
you just
answer.
You just touched something real quick there that is important. You, everybody has feelings, but feelings really don't mean shit. You got to go with facts before you make a decision. So, like you were just saying, before you make a decision to do something or not do something based on the way you feel, say, just check yourself real quick, pump the brakes. Is this the way I really feel based on facts, or is it just something I think? And that's different. And that's the tough part, and we all don't do it at the right times.
That's where a good team comes in, exactly there, because – you guys are all in a band. And the good thing about another thing that loyalty is you guys have been loyal to your sound. Yes, you've grown, and your albums have definitely, like, sound of change. Obviously, you guys are changing, but it's still the Dirty Heads. And so that's where trusting all of the other partners in your band is good, because someone in your band might have a wild idea to go this way, and then you have all these other dudes that you're loyal to, that you know are loyal to the Dirty Heads sound. They might check you. They might pull out some facts and go, that's a cool idea. I like where you're going with that piece of music, but maybe not for the Dirty Heads. We're, you know, and that's where, like, you guys are a killer group, and you and Cheese has been there since the very beginning of your sound. You guys have all kind of decided on a sound, stayed loyal to it.
That's what got me into it, was the sound.
Was the sound right out the gates.
Yeah, it was different. It was, you can hear all the influences, you know. Mm-hmm. If you go, oh, it sounded like Sublime. Yeah, it did, but it didn't. There's some really crazy hip-hop shit on there, too. And it was good and it was credible. You know, I don't mean to jinx anything, but that first record, you know, was magic to me and still is. It's one of my favorite records that I can just put on and play. It took a long time to make it. It was relentless. You know, I remember when we got the record deal that he said, oh, that's cool. We got the demo. We only need to record about 5 or 6 more songs. And I'm not making fun of him. He really felt that at the time.
And these were, like, you know, at that point we had the dirty demos. And
yeah.
I think it was 6 songs that we had recorded, like, in our friend's garage. And I thought at the time, which I was, what, 19 or something, I think, 20 maybe, I was like, we're done. This album's amazing. Put it out. Send it to K-Rock now.
People were loving it. So you're just like, there it is.
But here's the weird, ironic thing about that. At the time, those songs couldn't contend with anything that was on the record. But now that that's a body of work and goes on, you go back to the Dirty Demos, and they have their own little genius.
Oh, Hunter, dude,
that should
raw.
Have never been fucked with. It is raw. And that also is one of my favorite things, because that was the first thing that got me to want to work with these guys, is I heard those songs, and I was like, holy shit, this is the weirdest group of music. Yeah,
Duddy's guitar playing is weird.
Yeah.
And especially was back then. It's like, it is the rhythm of the song, it's a drum beat. Like,
He's got his style.
Yes.
You know, he's like the Keith Richards of what he does. And it's funny, because we saw give him shit earlier because he was so fucking rudimentary. But he turned that into a style, which I respect. You know, that's – Keith Richards isn't the greatest guitar player, or Johnny Thunders. For all you kids who don't know who that is, look it up. Those were my guitar heroes, stylistic guys like Ace Frehley.
Oh, we got some goodies.
Oh, we do.
Oh, look out, world.
Oh man,
look out, world.
Look at that.
Sticky vape.
Look at that. Thank you. Thank you. By the way, Duddy, whatever this weed was, I am high as fuck.
Oh, that was mushrooms. Sorry, I didn't tell you that.
No. Oh, my God.
We'll see how it goes.
I knew something was up.
Down to the basement.
No, that was actually some weed from our friends at Tradecraft Farms. Oh, my goodness. It is delicious.
Yeah, it's very stony.
So, sorry, did we completely cut you off there? What were you saying? Oh, yeah, I'm the Keith Richards of guitar. Yeah, to be honest, I first started playing guitar because I just wanted to be able to
get laid.
Well, you know, that's always in the back of everyone's head when they pick it up. No, I wanted to be able to, like, sit in my room and just play a couple chords and write lyrics. I love writing lyrics, and that's like my favorite part of songwriting to me is I love sitting down and writing lyrics. And, you know, this was way before, like, I can just go on and, you know, get a bunch of instrumental songs and write lyrics to it. So the easiest way to do that was, oh, get an acoustic guitar, play a couple chords, and I can just write lyrics. And that's kind of how I started getting into guitar. And, you know, and from there, I've learned a little bit, but not much.
No, you write, here's what you've learned. You write nursery rhymes.
Yeah, pretty much.
On the guitar. You know, and I'll tell you who else is the genius of that in Orange County is Mike Ness. Listen to the way he plays. Same, you guys stylistically are different, but your patterns are identical in the way you guys play.
Yeah, Duddy's got something unique about it. Like the opening song to Feeling Good with Duddy, you know, you'll hear a little guitar riff back in there. And yeah. The first day I came in, he played this for me. He's like, how do you like the opening song? And I go, I'm listening. I'm like, you play that guitar, huh? He's like, yeah, it's just that.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I mean, Matty O is a phenomenal guitar player. He can play better than I do.
Yeah, he's tight.
Yeah, he's
but
good.
He doesn't have the same swagger as Duddy. So it's really cool when you put them together and then the way Dave plays bass. So it all kind of, it, and I don't want people to write hate mail and shit because, like, you're comparing them to the Stones, but I'm comparing to the Stones in the way Keith Richards says, like, weave in a basket, you know. Everybody has their own distinct kind of flavor that works together. And that's what this band has, which I like. So, and I am stoked because you were loyal to yourselves. And I remember a lot of compromises were asked in the beginning, you know, change your song. Remember Jimmy Iovine? You guys need to
totally
be like the Streets, you know?
We were talking exactly about that. Duddy said that, yeah, we were told to be more street.
Yeah.
More gangster.
Yeah.
I was like well, dude, I don't want it.
Yeah.
We're from the beach. We're cracking jokes.
Exactly.
In our songs.
No. Like, and it was funny because, and I know I may be getting off course, but we were sitting in the room with Jimmy Iovine and Steve Berman. If you don't know who those guys are, look them up too, because they're fucking amazing. These are the biggest guys in music. And Jimmy was like, yeah, you know, you need to change. You need to do this. You need to do that. And we want to sign you. We want to give you a development deal. And this is the first fucking record company they go to. And they're sitting there, and they got Jimmy Iovine, the biggest man in music, offering him a fucking it was a demo deal. And we were like, nope, see ya. And we walked out of there. Remember that?
Yep.
And you're like, I remember in the elevator, they're going, did we just do the wrong thing? Did we just totally fuck up? And I'm like, nope, this is going to work out. And we did it. We could have had it easy right then. We could
have
had a record that would not have worked.
And that's the type of things that you can – that's why they're loyal to you. You've always been loyal to them. I mean, if you were just in it for the money or just trying to get a quick grab, you would have just been like, yeah, we'll go with Jimmy Iovine. Yeah, let's take it. But no.
I didn't take a commission for 7 years.
You knew what these guys
– yeah, not a cent.
Not a cent.
Cheese put my band on tour for 3 straight summers. You gave us so many good shows and never took a dime.
Well, looking in for the long haul. Trust me, I'm cashing in on the Dirty Heads now.
Yeah. But I mean, even just personally for me, like you never, you know, you got us paid and you were like, you know what? It's not enough. Keep it. You guys are on tour.
Well, I was investing back into you because if you take that money, then you can't afford to do things. If I took the money, then it cuts money out that prevents you from doing shit that you should be doing to further yourself. So it's investing back in, like when we go to Europe or somewhere, we lose money.
Yeah.
But we still work just as hard whether we lose money or we make money. Well, most managers will commission a loss on a band. I could never do that. So I waive it so that we can invest that money back into the band because we need to go back again to build the business, and then it will be as fruitful as this business is in America. Bands don't realize that. They get too big here and then they go, I got to start over there. Because when you start in Europe, unless you have a global pop hit, you got to start over. You can be a fucking band, you know, like Sublime. We just are now making money because it wasn't the global pop thing over there.
Yeah,
so we go over and play like punk bands.
Dirty Heads don't really have much of a following over there whatsoever.
No.
We do decent in the UK. you know, London. We do okay. Yeah. But I mean, it was a couple years back. How long ago was that we did that little run? 5 years ago, maybe? Four or 5 years ago. It's not that long ago. We played a few bars to 10 people. No joke.
You're basically trying to create a scene. Yeah. Because your music
is so
unique.
Well, you have to, yeah. It's, what do you do? If it were like, if it were part of a scene, like it were punk rock or it was hip hop. That's why Sublime has that trouble. 311 has the same problem. You know, it's rock, it's reggae. What is it? We don't know. And if anything over in Europe has any reggae element to it and it's not ska or hardcore reggae, they hate it.
Well, yeah. I mean, and it's hard. Well, it's getting obviously easier, but like a band like us, say, for instance, some white guys from Southern California playing reggae and rapping. You know, that's not something right at first where you're just like, oh, cool. You know, it might
thanks.
It does sound kind of funny when he says it like that, right?
It sounds really bad.
It's like you're faking.
Yeah, but so
trying to describe them as a fucking nightmare. Huh? Yeah. What do they sound like? Ah, shit.
And that goes back to the subject of today and just being true to yourself, because we kind of knew that getting into it. You know, we were like, some people are going to laugh at this, and a lot of people did, and we played a lot of shows to nobody, and the people that were there were looking at us like, the fuck are you guys doing? But we just kind of really had this gut feeling, and we stayed true to ourselves. We met some good people that we worked with and were loyal to, and they were loyal to us, and we all put our trust in each other, and we just kept moving along. And so, now, you know, we get to do fun things like this. And speaking of being loyal,
I have one thing to finish.
You know what makes me
loyal sponsors?
Go ahead. You got one more thing?
No. I didn't have to. I didn't want to break a sponsor. But I always say it. This sounds kind of fucked up and funny, but it's serious. I tell people it's okay to lie to other people. Just don't lie to yourself. Doesn't sound good, but it makes sense.
Dude, we talked about this on the first episode, bro.
I smoked weed that day too.
Three episodes from now, she's gonna go. I got.
Yeah, you guys can edit that out.
You can lie to yourselves.
Oh no, don't do that. Anyway, carry on. We can for sure cut that the fuck out.
All right,
no more weed.
Speaking of loyalty, you know who's been really loyal? Proper 12. Been with us since the beginning of this podcast, and they're still here today. And we're gonna have some right now. Jake, will you do the honors?
Dude, and on the note of being loyal, we've been loyal to this bottle because we've taken these shots every episode. Is this the same bottle?
No.
Okay, loyalty's out the fucking window. Yeah, I'll pour the shots.
We've been taking those things down. But if you have not tried Proper 12 Whiskey, please do yourself a favor. Go pick up a bottle and try it. It is really good. And since this podcast, the first episode, pretty much the day before that episode,
give me
was
a small
my first
one.
Time trying it, and I've been dabbling in it pretty much every day since. So thank you again, Proper 12. And last but not least, today our sponsors are another person who's been loyal to us since the beginning, Sticky Vapes, a company we love. I use this product every day. I always have one in my pocket because you don't always have time to just sit down and have a full session. You're on the go. You're a busy guy. You're a busy business smoker guy. So you need one of these things in your pocket. So stickyvape.com. Go check it out. And we're going to take these shots.
He's good at that.
Continue.
He is.
Thank
you're a busy stoner,
thank you.
Fucking modern man.
Do TV commercials.
You're a stoner millennial.
That's not bad, actually.
It's great.
Is that Irish whiskey?
It is. It
I
is
like
indeed.
It.
McGregor's whiskey.
Oh, it's McGregor's. That's right.
Yeah.
I heard that.
So
it's delicious.
Now that we've done that, we wanna have another little segment called "Is This Is Real Life?"
I don't think we have it, dude. Do we have it? Oh, you didn't get it. That's it, dude. That's
it. Is This Is Real Life? Ashton, can you throw up a quick picture for me?
Oh, you guys are doing pictures.
I want to know if this is true. Did you?
Bang, son.
Did you?
Bang, son. So this segment is just, is this real life?
Did
and we
you?
Just want to know, cheese, we heard that potentially China had sex with you is how that would go down. Is that real life?
It's not accurate.
Why did you pause and why are you side eyeing us? I feel like it is accurate.
No. I never had sex with her.
Okay.
We'll Do you want to that? Elaborate or are we moving on?
Let's move on. No. I don't have anything funny to say.
Did I just make Cheese uncomfortable?
Totally.
I think that's 100%. The first time in my entire life I saw him blush a little bit.
No, because I feel really bad for her because
her
end days were not good and she was a good person. So it was, I met her on super early and at On the Rocks. Remember when that place used to go off?
Yep.
And just hung out for a while. And she was super cool, and I just really, it just so bums me out that the way it ended. So that's why I hesitated. Okay. Yeah, she's a wonderful person.
All right, and
you know, very manly though. I'll say that.
That didn't go how I thought it was going to go.
No, I mean, you can ask me some other weird shit. I'm down.
No.
Stricken that from the record as well.
Yeah, they're never having me back. You didn't. That wasn't funny. He's right. Off.
We gotta go. We gotta have fun. So pop up that picture.
Oh,
of Cheese and I, and let's maybe this could be ours. This is real life. Not that one.
Oh, that's a good one.
That one is a good one. Not that one either. Oh, not that one either.
I know those guys. Bang. I know those guys.
Boom, son.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah.
Is this real life?
This is how you get a job with Cheese.
That's right.
Imagine what they were doing right before that.
Was this when I was your personal assistant?
Look how young you look.
His personal assistant?
You look very young.
Look how just relaxed you look.
Yeah.
And how just comfortable and confident.
That does look pretty gay.
Dude, what's going on there?
Yeah. That reminds me of the picture when John and I went to the gay club and the pool party in Myrtle Beach. I've got a photo. I'll get it to you, Jake.
That got better and better.
It's very similar to this one, and there's no way we could convince people that
we're not gay.
I don't know, but that's a very nice purple shirt you have on.
Look at your beard. I don't think it's grown since. It's just the same, dude.
Oh my god, that's a creepy picture.
That is a purple shirt.
Yeah. Yeah,
fucking hell. Look at you, dude.
And between that and all the naked hugs that the socials blew up with talking about the naked hug. So this is going to drive it over the top.
I am just all yours right there. Look at that. Yeah, that's a hot couple. All right. Anywho.
Let's move forward. I want to get something
fun. This is Cheese. Obviously not funny.
Yeah, that was just creepy. But since
two
Cheese
weird ones
here,
in a row.
That hilarious China story.
Jesus. So. I just want to go into some fun story that I have with Cheese, and we always do a segment called Bandcamp, and I haven't really got to do one yet, so I'm going to do one today that involves this guy. Can we do the Bandcamp?
Let's hit it.
Oh, and this one time at Bandcamp?
All right, so
I love that.
Today on Bandcamp, I want to tell a story about weirdos in Austin, Texas. And first off, before I get into it, everybody in the band has a name from the city they did something crazy in. I'm Austin Duddy, and it's from this story right here. So,
and Weirdos is the name of a venue.
I
was gonna say club, but it's like half outdoor.
It's called Weirdos.
Yeah,
it's like a little kind of bar and grillish type place, but more bar. But in the back, they've got like a couple acre just open ground. And they'll like put a
volleyball
put, like, a big
and
stage
shit.
Up
yeah.
Every now and then, I guess. Or we might have actually been like the first one they did this. Because I remember as we
it
were
was for sure the last one.
Oh, yeah.
It was the first one.
It was because they were building a sound wall behind the stage because they had already sold like so many. I don't even remember, but there was a couple thousand people at least. And this was a while back. So a couple thousand people, if not like 5,000 or something. I don't know.
Dude. Austin, Texas is weird anyway, in an awesome way.
And
it's
the
beautiful.
Place is called Weirdos.
And the place is called Weirdos. Like, you'll see people riding a horse up the street in a city. Like, it's just – so this place is perfect Austin. It's like Duddy said. It was essentially a bar and grill, but it had a two-acre uneven ground lot. Just – it looked like someone's backyard that
– Well, I think they did
storing
like –
storing shit. I don't
I think
know.
It's one of those, like, jock bars where they – throw horseshoes and volleyball.
Yeah,
and all
they did
that.
All everything. They
all
did
that
all
crazy
that.
Shit.
It was in the outskirts of Austin, so they had a lot of room.
Yeah.
But it was also like Halloween. or it was near Halloween. So this show was like wear a costume.
I think it was Halloween.
I think it actually was on Halloween. So we pull up. In which is another story, I think. I think in our
this
Fox.
This story has a lot.
Fox RV.
No, no. By this time, different. That's a different tour. That's you're in a bus. But you know what? Write down Fox RV.
A bus because I was the tour manager.
Fox RV is one of the best stories ever.
So back to weirdos. We pull up in the bus and, you know, we pull up at about 11 in the afternoon, 10 in the morning, something like that. And the first thing that happens is the owner comes to into our bus and is like, hey, we got a couple waitresses working in there. Whatever you guys want all day long, just like I think he gave us a number to text. So we would just be texting what we want and they would just be bringing it to the bus all day. And, you know, this is back before we had so much self-control and, you know.
This was the first tour.
First big tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were still just in party mode and I just like kept ordering drinks and I kept ordering drinks from like the time we got there to the point where I forgot I even had a fucking show and I was just gone. And all I really remember is you, I think, handing me a guitar. Was Christian there? Maybe it was Christian actually. Christian was like pushing the guitar into my chest, going, dude, you have to go on stage now.
Yeah,
you
was working merch. Show. So that was Christian.
You were doing the merch.
At that point, I remember like hearing our intro is like, our intro to the show is on. And I'm just like blacked out. And I'm like, whoa, shit. And I remember that Christian's like helping me up the steps to the stage. And I get up there and I don't even know how to play guitar. I can't remember one fucking lyric. And I'm just winging it. And and it was not going good. And
dude, paint it black.
Oh,
was
paint it black. I
remember that.
I was at the merch booth going, goo!
I'm actually going to tell you this. And I don't know why. You can go on and find that YouTube of Dirty Heads playing Paint It Black at Weirdos in Austin, Texas. Oh. Look that up and you will see what the fuck I'm talking about. It sucks. But I remember like we're like going into like the third song and I remember just thinking in my head like, what am I going to do? I'm fucked. I cannot remember shit. And I remember standing there and like just spinning and like, what am I going to do? And then like I open my eyes again and Christian or one, someone at the time is grabbing me going, yo, show's canceled. Get off stage. Show just got shut down. And I was like, oh my God, I've never been happier in my fucking life. And I was like, what happened? What happened? It's like, oh, apparently Cheese punched a security guard and the cops are here. So Cheese, why don't you finish the Bandcamp story with your side of it? Because I'm on stage fucking half blacked out while all this
happens. I remember it very well.
He heard your solo, so he just punched the first three. He's like, we got to end this somehow.
No, well, it's funny, though, because I was worried when my shit went down that oh, fuck, the band's going to be livid with me. They're canceling the show. They're calling the police. They're throwing us out of here. And Duddy comes off. He's all, thank you. I was like, what? He goes, thank you. I was so fucked up. I couldn't play anymore. I was done. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
But do that.
And the other guys were like, fucking okay.
So Cheese obviously punches some. And first of all, let me stick up. Look, there's no good way. You shouldn't get that tanked before a show.
No, Duddy knows
that. But this place disarms you. We pulled up to essentially a fucking hoarder's farmhouse.
They connected to a bar.
And then they walk up to our bus and say, just text and someone will appear with drinks.
Yeah, it's not fair.
It wasn't even fair, dude, because you're so disarmed. You're like, okay, I'm playing my friend's backyard. I don't need to be all together. Anyway, so
no,
there's
I
that.
I mean, honestly, to and this I'm day, just trying I, don't to help. Take, I don't take a sip of liquor before
See?
The show. I really don't.
You win or you learn.
Yeah.
And you learned. You lost on the show. You learned. But anyway, so I'm working merch, and this is all I see. So obviously Christian came up to you and said, show's over. Well, Cheese didn't make it to the stage. Cheese apparently punched a security guard and then jetted straight for me at the merch booth. Eyes is as big as eyes can ever be. And he's all, Jake, he's all, get me the fuck out of here. Get me out of here now.
That's all I remember.
And we like took you to the bus and then.
There's a backstory because I don't want people to think that I'm a total asshole unless you know me. But the guy was. It was a security guy, and there was a fence that was right in front of the bus. And I was trying to go from backstage to the bus, and he stopped me. And he said, you can't go here. And I showed him my pass. I said, this is, I'm with this band. I'm their manager. You can't go here. You got to go all the way back to the stage around this long fence, about half the length of a football field and back, to go through the same fucking gate that he's standing next to. And I was like, this is the dumbest thing. And he was just one of those just big fucking dumb guys. And he thought he was cool because he was so much bigger than everybody. And I argued with him for 5 minutes too. I was so fucking frustrated that I go, okay, I'm going to walk down there. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to come back here. And when I get to this gate, I'm going to beat your fucking ass. And the guy just laughed at me. And so I took off. And the more I walked, the more pissed I got. And I got up to this big motherfucker, and he didn't even put his hands up. He didn't think I was going to do it. And he just folded like an accordion. It was like the greatest shot of my life. And I continued to beat the fuck out of him when he was down. And then I
– feeling good.
Yeah. It felt good. It did. He –
there's been like three beatdown stories in like four episodes of this shit.
I was like, fuck, they're going to arrest me. And so I said, Jake, you got to get me the fuck out of here. And then we got on the bus, and the police came and got me off the bus. But so I am the manager, quick thinking. The police said, what happened? I said, well, I walked up here. I tried to get on my bus, and the guy grabbed me by the throat, and he said, you can't go in there. And I showed him my pass, and he pushed me back, and then I freaked out and beat him out because he grabbed me by the throat.
Self-defense.
So here's where it takes a weird twist, which you guys didn't know. So the police took the report, and that was it, I thought. Well, the guy's jaw was broken, so because there was bodily damage, it changed the category. And they decided to press charges, but they didn't have – they had my driver's license number but not my address, and it was like an old address. So they put a warrant out for my arrest. 10 years later, I try to get my handgun permit, and they won't give it to me because of an incident in Austin, Texas in 2010.
Weirdos.
This is where, first of all, we found the video of Duddy blowing it at Austin, so we'll save that for a sec. But you called me, dude. I don't know if you remember this. I had just started like barber school at this point. Like I'm done playing music, and I'm like at barber college, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm living my fucking life. And I get a call from Cheese. Well, what's up, Cheese? And he's all, Jake. He's like, dude, I think I need you to fly to Austin, Texas with me. You were the tour manager. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Cheese. I'm like, I'm in school, dude. Like, yeah. I'm got shit to do. Oh, I remember that.
Oh, shit.
You're like, Jake, I need you to fly. And you're like, and I'm like, I don't think I, and you were cool. You're like, don't worry about it, man. I'll figure it out. But, and I was like, okay. And I remembered. I'm like, yeah, I remember you socking the dude. But you're like, I need you to tell them.
Oh, yeah.
Self-defense. I'm like, fucking hell.
Yeah. No, they put a warrant out for my arrest. And the weird thing is 2 weeks before that, I had lost my driver's license in Austin, Texas. And I had to go through all this shit with PSA? The people that pat you down and shit?
TSA,
whatever. Yeah. You can tell I go to the airport a lot, right?
PSA is a public service announcement.
What the fuck ever. Anyway, I told you that was really good weed. So
yeah, we should have more.
So I had to jump through all these hoops and provide all the shit. It took me about an hour and a half to get through security, but I did it. Had I've had my driver's license and they swiped it like they do now in Texas, to jail. So my attorney, I hired an attorney. They knew, this is where it gets weird, they knew Brian Bosworth, and he's like a super well-connected guy in Austin.
Football player? Who is that?
The football player. Yeah, the Boz.
Yeah.
So they hook me up with the Boz. He goes in and talks to the judge, and they dismiss it.
Boom. Sounds more like the Boss.
Well, is this going to bring up any old shit? Is the double jeopardy limitation statute scenario? I'm pretty sure that's all legally
no.
perfect.
No, and the boss hired an attorney. I hired the boss's attorney.
Cheese leaves here, gets tackled, brought back to Texas. All right, we got all we need. Thank you, guys.
Down.
Duddy and I.
For a great next episode.
It really would.
Visiting hours with Cheese.
That's right. Damn. Conjugal visies
with
Cheezo. Should we have a look-see at this? Are you going to blow it like real early on, or do we have to wait for you?
No, let's wait for that. Unless you want to hear it right now.
I don't know. Should we? Look, if it sucks, we'll cut it out. Hit play. Let's see.
You
if we
can listen to this. This is me fucking wasted at Weirdos trying to play Paint It Black.
Look at all those happy people at Weirdos.
I think I even have like a funny hat on. I do. Look at my hat.
2010. Oh, that's right. That hat. I fucking...
I remember this.
All right. I'm doing better
than
I thought.
Decent, that's decent right there. It's the solo that really...
The solo's bad.
Hey, look how good Matty O looks. Look at that.
He's like 12.
It's this first solo. We'll go to the first solo and then we'll stop. It's not far in.
Hell yeah, Dave. Look at that crowd work with Jared.
Is Dave's bass lower than normal there?
Dude, we used to make fun of him back then, remember?
We still make fun of him.
Lift your bass.
But it's down lower.
Small, that guitar I'm playing got stolen from Guam TSA, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, never got it back.
Shitty.
Here it is.
Oh, here we go, everybody.
Oh, shit. It's that for the next little...
Well, everyone else is ripping.
Yeah, they always rip.
And you sound good right now, Daddy.
Look how cute Jared was.
Jared sounds good.
I think it's right after this little chorus part. It's fucking terrible.
Dave has gloves on. What a
with
fucking
fingers,
stud.
With fingers.
Listen, cut out.
All right. Oh!
Actually, it's fucking better than I thought.
Yeah, it's not bad. Just the ending's got a little rough.
All right, we can have it. Turn
just,
that shit
just
on.
The landing.
Jared had to tell everyone to clap right there.
Just
I
the
think
landing.
He was laughing at me.
Dude, cheese punched someone right at that moment.
That was actually good to watch that because that was a bad moment in my life. I look back and I go,
it's not that bad.
Okay.
Dude, not that bad.
I've done worse shit.
Yeah.
I've done worse shit.
Wow. Yeah.
So it made that story not even half as funny.
Okay, yeah, right? Stricken on. That from the record.
Maybe we lost our mojo.
Hey, but back to that Fox.
That was fun.
That Fox RV.
Oh.
Oh, man. And not naming any names and not saying anything bad about the company because the company's great. We had no issues.
Oh, the marketing person hated us at the end. It was bad.
Like Fox Racing or, you know, Fox.
Yes. Motocross. Like, the motocross company.
Yeah. So well, go ahead.
No, you go.
This was... Van days. We had only been in a van.
We did a deal with Fox, and they were giving us free clothes and stuff. And the lady offered, and she said, you know, we have a van, or it's not a van, it's a big motorhome that we let our racers use to take to races and stuff. Do you guys want to take this on tour? And they were in a van at the time. And I said, absolutely not. If it would have been the right
smart.
I was like, I don't want these people. And I told these guys, I go, if you let them do this, this will ruin our relationship. These guys will destroy this.
Early days, dirty heads, any chance to fucking do something, they will do
they
it.
They did it. And
do
I just
gnarly.
I told them straight up, that's I'm super flattered that you offered to do this. But these guys will fucking destroy this. And she said, they're so sweet. They won't either. Don't worry about it. Like she thought they were full of shit.
Yeah, we had some good times in there. So you can picture this thing. It was a huge RV, and the whole outside of it was wrapped in zebra print. You remember that?
It was all Fox stuff. It looked like it should be in the parking lot at a stadium motocross gig.
The back lounge was stadium seating almost, like if you were at a fucking strip club, and it had a pole in the back. So there was a strip club in the back lounge. And you're picturing
story.
What this was like. This was more of like a party bus than like a let's all have to sleep. I don't even think there was bunks. There wasn't.
There was big, long couch. The whole thing was a couch.
Yeah. So we were just scattered out.
It was meant to like park at a bike race, and it's a cool place to chill for the day.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a party bus.
We were driving this around the country.
It's a rolling green room, sort of. Not a place to live 24 hours a day at all.
We had some good times. I think it was on the last day before we turned it in, we were playing this game. Oh, and we didn't have a driver, so we had...
To take turns.
We had to take turns driving, and we had one of our... What was Beavin was driving it a lot. And we would have him... We would have... Someone, you had to go into the back lounge And we had all the doors open so you can go all the way up to the front. And
I'm going to see if he tells his story honestly or not. Go ahead.
We would have, you would have to lay down, you know, stomach and face first on the skateboard. Naked.
Naked. Okay, he did.
And
he did.
Then we would tell who was ever driving. And we'd be on the freeway, like going. But this is, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning, so there's really no one else out there than us. So we'd be on the freeway and we would say, hit the brakes! And he would have to slam the brakes, and then the guy on the skateboard would fly up to the front, but everyone else in the bus was posted up around fucking throwing shit at him.
Were you guys naked too?
Not all of them. Not all of us. But like fucking spraying baby powder on the person going, just whatever we could. Spraying our beers.
Piss.
Blah, blah, blah. But that was the last thread of like the last one we did was our friend Drew. He did the last obstacle you had to go through was him. What he was, you know how you know you put your balls and your wiener behind you so you look like a girl. He had that going on, but he was facing, you know, the front of the bus. So his backside was facing you. So his wiener was facing behind him, and he's bent over pissing as you had to.
It's like a car wash.
Oh. So we didn't work with Fox after this tour. We did.
Dude,
not.
When I turned that thing in, they couldn't believe it. They just wanted to throw a match in it. And that girl.
Why?
Was. Because it was full of fucking baby powder and trash and shit and piss.
Oh, my God. An upside-down piss sprinkler.
We invented a really fun game on that bus, actually. It's called Bim Shall a Bim, Fill It to the Brim. And it's while we were driving again, we had skateboard wheels, and we'd sit in the very front lounge, and again, all the doors open, so you go all the way to back, and we would roll the skateboard wheel all the way to the back. And whoever was the farthest away from the wall, whoever got closest without hitting the wall, yes, won. And then, like, if you actually hit the wall, you lost. But we would keep everyone that was playing had to pour their drinks into one cup. So the loser had to pound it. And while we would pour the cup and play the game, we'd all be chanting, Bim Shala Bim, fill it to the brim. Bim Shala Bim, fill it to the brim. So next time you're in an RV, play Bim Shala Bim and do that chant. It's fucking great.
Yeah, next time you have a hallway in your RV and you can slam the brakes and fly naked under a piss sprinkler, play.
Or I don't want to ruin it for you guys. Bim. You could just go get a shuffleboard game. That's the premise.
Damn it, Cheese. This is feeling good with Duddy.
I'm sorry. God fuck, damn it. I'm a total dick.
Erase the whole last segment.
Yeah.
Jeez, you can't play Bim Shala Bim.
You have to drink the first cup.
Let's bust out one of these fan-generated questions really quick.
You know, I got a piss story real quick.
Okay, piss story.
Phoenix, Arizona, just played a show back at the Mondrian Hotel. And we had one of Nick's credit cards at the bar, so we were just ordering mad drinks. There's about 20 of us there after the show.
Nick is Cheese's business partner and
Henry T. Nicholas. You can look him up.
Dude's got $3 or $4 to rub together.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, he's a billionaire guy. So we're at the pool and with a lot of drinks. And I'm the respectful guy I am. I don't like to piss in the pool. So I get out and piss in this glass that I just drank all the booze out of. And your buddy Rob.
Well, it was an empty margarita glass that he had bought this margarita, but he drank it really quick. So there were still like ice in it, and there was still like salt on the rim and a straw.
So that's why he peed into it, guys. So if anyone's judging.
But he just stood over.
No, the best thing is it's like 3 in the afternoon, 4 in the afternoon at this really swanky hotel. Yeah. And the pool is crowded. So go ahead.
No, he just stands over the cup and he's in his, you know, board shorts, so he just starts peeing.
It just runs straight down
out of his pants, just, and it fills this little, you know, it's like a rock glass.
I pissed right in front of everybody.
I already hate this fucking story.
And he fills it up, so you can imagine, like, still like salt on the rim, still like a lime on it, filled with ice, straw, and now it has piss in it. It looked like a fucking great margarita.
It did. It did. In all fairness, it looked legit. And Rob,
bim shalabim.
And Rob comes up. And he's like, whose margarita is this? And he's putting it towards his mouth like he's going to drink it. I'm like, don't do it. I pissed in it. I'm trying to tell him the truth. And he drank about fucking half of it. And then he's all, this really is piss. He hands it to his chick, and she drinks the rest.
No. See, he very close to the truth, but he, you were like, no, no, no. And he thought you were saying, like, don't drink my drink. So he was trying to be funny. So he just downs the whole fucking thing.
Oh.
Right? And then he realizes, holy crap, that's piss. And then when he's like, oh, my God, that was piss, blah, blah, blah. Then his chick's like, I took a sip of that. Before he drank it.
Pre-hit. And she didn't warn him.
She knew. Bitch. She was trying to hide undercover that she drank the pee and no one knew.
That was a rough day.
Oh. Dang. Who's more of a monster there then? Because his chick should have definitely, as soon as you, she put it back.
She put it back.
Monster.
Yeah. Well, are they still together? Speaking of monsters, let's hope so. Do you remember what Elsa he did after that?
They were taking. I had this.
Not they. He.
I thought him and Christian did it, or him and Jared.
No, Christian would not.
Should
do
we put
that.
The Instagram handle of who you guys are talking about?
No. He had at this time. Cheese had this humongous boil on his back
that I had to get popped,
and we were lugeing whiskey down his back off of his boil into fucking Rob's mouth.
He also ate a peanut M&M out of my belly button.
Well, you got to wash away the piss. So you got to do something. So you were launching off the boil into his mouth.
Yeah, it was lugeing. At least I think is the correct word.
Lugeing.
Boil lugeous.
Hey, we had, you know, it was weird. I told you it was weird.
Woo! All feeling good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Oh. What are we even doing? Did you want to ask?
Let's change the subject. I want to do I asked some people on Instagram if they had any questions for Cheese, and we got one from Carhart143, which I'm pretty sure is Carly Hill, longtime fan.
I think it's someone who really likes
first
cars.
Time caller.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. She wants to know, what's your favorite musician, alive or dead?
She wants to know mine.
And she said, because mine is Duddy. And that made me feel good.
Oh, man. Well, for starters, I'm really old, so you probably wouldn't know him. But you can Google it. My favorite singer of all time is Steve Marriott from Humble Pie. And I think overall, I got to say, I'm a Keith Richards fan. You know, I like everything about Keith.
Okay.
Love his swagger, loves the way he plays, love the way he looks. He's like a real-life pirate. I like that.
Nice.
Dude, talk about staying. Are they all the same members of that band? Has anyone switched out?
Different bass player.
Is that is he alive? Like,
Some weird shit going on with a younger girl, and I don't know how that – I don't know the true story. But
you're talking about the Stones right now.
And
I'm talking about
Ronnie Wood's like the third guitar player. But he's been in it for, 30 years.
The core of that band, though, the same dudes.
Keith, same dudes.
Mick, and that drummer dude that's just
Charlie Watts.
There just,
it's like a machine.
Dude.
Yeah, Charlie Watts.
How many years? How many years
since
is that damn
62,
band?
So 50s, mid-50s.
Oh, my God, like almost 60 years.
Yeah, I think their first record was like 63, 64 maybe. So 55 years. Pretty
Keith
amazing.
Richards, still playing.
Still
doing
this thing.
Blood transfusions.
Speaking of Paint It Black.
Yeah, there you go.
You butchered one of his shits earlier, dude. Let's take a shot.
Here we
Let's
go. Do
it. An apology shot for Keith.
There you go, Keith.
Sorry.
We're sorry.
Bud. Our bad, buddy.
Sorry.
You know, there's a connection between Duddy and Keith. Do you know, Duddy, what your connection with Keith is?
I don't.
Seth Lichtenstein. You have the same attorneys.
Our same attorney.
There you go.
Boom, let's get him on the show.
He'll be on next week. Yeah, tune in. Keith Richards.
Seth, if you're listening, call Keith.
All right, let's do one more fan question real quick. Christy Lynn Fit Mom wants to know.
Sounds hot.
Did you think when you first met the Dirty Heads that they would be as big as they are now?
Ooh, perfect. To go with this question, put up that photo, the one with the white background with three guys standing there. Fit Mom, atta girl. This is what the Dirty Heads look like when Cheese first met them. This is the first promo shots that Cheese organized. Dude,
look at John John's pants.
Oh my God.
Look at that.
That is awesome.
Dude, John John's a badass. Look at him, dude.
He is.
I'll fucking smash you with this drum right
now. He looks like the toughest one by far.
This could be a comic book. Look at Jared, dude. He'll just strangle you, I suppose, and then sing.
Jared looks like an anime character. Anime.
Look at you, Duddy.
Don't
look at me. No, look at that sideways hat. Holy shit.
You know what that says? It says, I don't fucking care.
I don't even cur it even a little. Damn.
Dude, he looks like he stole those pants off of one of those kids that goes to the clown posse shows. what are they called?
The Juggalo.
Juggalo pants.
Holy shit, yeah. You guys look like you're opening up for the insane clown posse.
Yeah, dude, John John's got Juggalo pants on too.
That is the shit. So cheese.
Sad thing, I used to sell those at Grind.
Fit Mom.
Yeah.
Perfect question.
Yeah, what does she want to know again?
Did you think...
When you first met the Dirty Heads, that they would be as big as they are today?
Crazy question. Absolutely. And I don't think we came originally with a five-step plan. We're just now entering midway through four, probably. So we're not even at where we said we would be. And to my knowledge, none of us feel like slowing down. So...
Not even close. I'm having too much fun.
Too much fun. Speaking of that, I'm gonna break some news on this that Duddy doesn't even know yet.
Oh, shit.
We'll talk some business right here amongst the three of us.
I'm excited.
With the fans, you guys are listening.
Fam.
Don't you gotta not do that.
Love you guys.
It's horrifying. We're gonna put an end to that whole thing, dude.
No, now what you've done is everybody's gonna call me fam that I see, or they're gonna go, I love you, dude.
Oh shit, it's true.
So you guys have completely fucked me. And I don't even remember what I was gonna say, but it was really
business
good
stuff. You were dropping business fucking news.
Oh, I'm dropping news. First of all, for the fans, this next record that the Dirty Heads just recorded is next level. We did it with Dave Cobb, the best producer out there right now, and he's famous for his country stuff, and he plays guitar with Chris Stapleton. He's won multiple Grammys. He's the most creative guy on the planet,
and he amazing to work with.
He pushed these guys to where it changed them as people. You could see them digging deep and coming up, and this record is amazing. So I think it's the best record they've ever done by far. I will put it up against the first record easily, and I love it's one of my favorite records ever. So we sent it to the label. Label shits their pants, tells us they're not going to put it out. And so for the last 3 weeks, we've been battling with the record label. So yesterday, I get a call.
This is amazing.
I'm breaking this for the first time.
You don't know this shit?
Well, he knows that the label wasn't thrilled about it and that we were battling with him. But so Seth and I, which this party doesn't know, Seth and I, the attorney, we've been, you know, making threats back and forth and all this, you know, like you do in the music industry. You just threaten each other. And So I get a call from Steve Klein because they could have sat on this record for years and fucked us. So they have hired some new staff people, and they are now releasing the record very excitedly.
Nice.
So doesn't that make you feel good?
Damn.
That does.
Ended that good.
That's beautiful.
Sitting here before I said that, he didn't know if he was putting out a record or not.
Are you serious?
He didn't know if he was putting out the
record. No, I knew. Me and Jared already talked. We're like, if these guys don't figure this out soon, I'm just going to leak that shit myself.
Yeah. Well,
you're not going to sit on that. I'll put that shit out.
Yeah. No, we would have definitely leaked it. We would have gotten arrested.
Yeah.
It would have been bad, but we would have done it. It's so good. It's so fucking good. And I told the guys, you know, normally the record company's like, oh, you got to do six more, like Lay Me Down or whatever. You know, like they want singles. And I said, you know what? I don't care on this record. I don't need singles. You know, you go write the best record you can write. Don't worry about anything. And they went in with this guy, and I had none of us had any clue. We knew he was great, but we didn't know how outside the box and creative that he was. And when they got in there, they pushed it to a different level. And these songs, you've heard it, right?
No.
You haven't heard it?
All I've done is talk to him, and he told me everything you're telling me now.
Duddy, you got to fucking play it. My favorite Dirty Head song ever, Tender Boy.
Tender Boy
is like it's a Beatles song. This is
I'll send you the link to it.
Yeah. This is their Paul's Boutique record.
Oh.
I really believe it is. It may not be the most commercial record ever, but it for Dirty Head's fans and for music fans that aren't looking for just like pop hits, and there's nothing wrong with pop, but it's just we're not a pop band. They went in and wrote the best record they could ever write at this point in their life with the best producer. All the planets aligned.
There it is. You guys are staying loyal to yourself. Cheese stayed loyal to you, even though the label's telling you one thing. You guys go, no, we like what we did,
dude. And this was, this is one of the best things. And because, he and Jared and I are very, and you're in that same category, very dominant A type personalities. And we've all had brutal arguments through the years. So now. This was so awesome. I never told you this, but in the back of my mind, I knew Dave Cobb for 2 years. This was the guy for this point in their life, but he's the most celebrated country producer ever, probably. And how am I going to convince them? And fucking how when with the Dirty Heads, when you say something that is not what they agree with, they don't just say, I disagree with you. They brutally humiliate you and put you down.
Friends. Good friends.
Good friends.
Loyalty.
Yeah. So when you come with something, you got to be ready to defend it. So I tell him, hey, I want this guy to produce your record, and this is why. And they looked at each other and they go, okay.
Oh, there was no.
No. No.
You guys probably felt like we're at a point where we want to – let's do something a little different. Let's not try to – is that what it is?
We always try and do something different. Yeah, we never want to be stale. And by stale, I don't mean like, putting out same Dirty Head songs. Yeah. I just mean like we like to continuously grow, and the best way to do that is work with people who are doing amazing things, and you're going to learn a lot. And every record we've worked with new people, and every record we write with a bunch of new people before we even start the record, we just write with random people because you never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But we learn so much. And I think that's why every one of our records has been a little bit different. But at the end of the day, it still sounds like the Dirty Heads.
They went in with songs. They went in with a full record of songs. And about halfway through, Dave was listening to him. Is like, he didn't like a bunch of them. So we're there. We can't go back and write more songs. So they wrote half of those songs in the studio while they did it live.
We recorded, I think, at least half the tracks on the album. We recorded all playing at the exact same time.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, he had told me, dude, some of these songs we're not even using a click track.
Yeah, most of them.
We're just playing.
No.
I don't know if any of them. No. I don't, yeah.
And they recorded in Chet Atkins' studio. Is this your first fucking podcast?
There it is, dude.
Oh, man.
Somebody had to do it.
Mark, dude.
No. Boom. He feels bad. I like
that. Feeling bad with Mark.
Feeling bad with Mark.
Dude. He's got his own spinoff show.
Is there any way to get a camera on him?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Cutlass, dude.
Oh, there you go. Oh,
all right. Answer it. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but it. What was I just saying again?
Something about like ruining a show when the phone rings.
Yeah,
so I remember.
Rings, the show's gone. No, but you were talking about them going in with this new producer. And
writing
on the spot.
They recorded it in at RCA where Chet Atkins did all his crazy stuff and Dolly Parton and Johnny Cash. Yeah,
they did all their albums there. Well, I don't know if all of them, but they all did albums there.
Super, super cool. A ton of great history on that. So, it was. I can't wait for the fans to hear it. And finally, you're going to get to hear it. It's going to be amazing.
When?
I would say mid to end of summer, but we're going to start leaking some stuff out in the next month.
So the fans can, when they hit the road, when they're on tour, the fans will know that they might hear some new things from what's coming.
Yeah, the funny thing is, too, when we every record, they have to attempt radio with it. So you got to give them a song, whether it works or not. We've been lucky that every every single first single we've went with has done well at radio. So, and we knew what it was. Like, we were all in agreement. It's like, it's this song. There's five songs on there that none of us, we agree on the five that are could be singles, but no one, and this is three strong personality guys, not one of the three of us can definitively say this is the single. It's that weird and that good.
What do you do, bring all five?
No, we let people pick. We were playing them for everybody, and I'm always talking to him, and I'm talking to Jared. So who have you played it for? What do they say? I sent it out to some radio guys, and they've narrowed it down to two. And radio is different than a great song. Unfortunately for kids, they only get to hear singles, but some bands write albums worth of material, and the songs on the album are better than the single would ever be. Like, Tender Boy and Supermoon are two insane songs that I don't think either one will ever be played on the radio.
I think most people agree too, right? Well, once you buy the album, you always end up loving songs that were not the single. And it could be just because the single was the single. You've heard it 100 times more than the other ones. But yeah, always. It's like, dude, these deep cuts are the ones.
So, yeah, I mean, a lot of the times the song that gets picked for the single, I'm like, really? That one?
Right. But it's the catchy.
It's just the catchy. You know, it's like the Beatles, I Want to Hold Your Hand. I don't know. You know, it's
you
like
people to go, huh? And then the rest is there. Yeah.
So these songs are amazing. But so far, the radio guys are coming back and saying, Lift Me Up or Fear and Love.
Okay. Which means nothing to the people listening right now.
Yeah.
Because they haven't heard those songs.
But when you hear us talking about them, then you hear the songs, you're going to go, oh, I can relate to that. I remember they were talking about it.
No, I'm very excited for this album. It's definitely a Dirty Heads album, but it is definitely a little bit different. And that's how we like to do it.
It sounds like the Dirty Heads.
Yeah.
So to go along with that lady's question, then I'll wrap it up and you can go to the next or whatever you want to do.
Fit Mom.
My favorite record album is The Stones' Tattoo You for that very reason. Disco was very popular at the time, and they took in a lot of elements from disco and made a very rock and roll rock record with disco elements, mm-hmm. like bass lines and drum beats, but everything else was big jangly guitars. And that was amazing. And that's kind of reminds me of this album, or like the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's record, where, you know, they just went completely out to left field and made this brilliant record that they were trying to make the best record for themselves, and it was a concept record.
Yeah, and one of my favorite albums of all time is the Beastie Boys' In Sounds from the Way Out, and it's just like an instrumental funk album, and it's the Beastie Boys, and I love that album.
And you mentioned Paul's Boutique earlier, so Paul's Boutique is the Beastie Boys' second album once they became a hip-hop group. If you don't know, the Beastie Boys were a hardcore punk band from New York for their first two albums. There's Some Old Bullshit. There's like Aglio Olio. Look these albums up. It's thrash punk, Beastie Boys. They became hip hop on License to Ill, and then they came out to L.A. They left New York, came to L.A., did Paul's Boutique, and it's like the sample heavy album. There was no radio singles, but it's fucking amazing.
It's the like only Beastie Boys epic record I like. I'm not. I'm a little older than you guys. Not a Beastie Boys fan. But that would be in one of my all-time 10 albums.
It's awesome.
So we told what our favorite albums are. Jake, what are your? What's your favorite album?
Oh, shit. I don't know. It's weird. I don't do that. Like,
it's hard.
I don't know. Music just comes in and out of my life, and there's things I grew up with that I liked, but it's like, it's weird. I don't listen. I love Morrissey. I love Eka Mouse. I like super unique singer dudes. So I love Morrissey because of his voice tone and every song he does.
That's an artist and a style. You know what the weird thing I just realized as you're talking about this is Foster, say, my girlfriend's son, Foster. If you ask him what his favorite album is, he couldn't tell you because he doesn't listen to albums.
Yeah.
But he has a playlist he loves.
He could tell you a playlist. He could tell you an artist, but he couldn't tell – he could tell you a style of music, but he couldn't – he's very into hip-hop. But he's not going to say like the Black Album, you know. He doesn't know the album. He may know a song if it was on a playlist, but kids today don't listen to albums anymore.
It's true.
And
it's,
I'm an old man.
It's definitely
becoming. You guys are old.
And I like, I know all the album names, but I'm just like, I don't know, dude. It's
to say your favorite
like,
is hard.
Yeah, I like the people. Like, come on, fuck, I like this dude, or I like this girl, or this band, and I don't really know the one album I like. I just like that thing.
See, when I was a kid,
it's weird.
There was pop music, and then I was into rock music. But not until I was about 14 did FM radio start to happen, like in the early to mid-70s. So when FM hit, they played the pop music. They played that on AM still. Hmm. And then on FM, they played rock music, but it was called AOR, album-oriented rock. And so you would hear like Zeppelin. You'd hear Stairway to Heaven. You would never hear that on a rock station or a commercial station. 8-minute song. So,
yep.
But on an FM rock station, they would play stuff like that. And that's all they played. They played the cool songs and didn't worry about whatever, you know, the pop was, because they didn't get advertising money anyway.
Well, you wouldn't know what they were doing?
What?
They were being true to themselves. That's what they liked.
They were staying loyal
to what they believed in.
Dude.
And they believed absolutely in that rock and roll.
That's a good time.
Music.
He's smooth.
He's smooth. He's good. He could do this for a living.
Are we wrapping up another episode with cheese right now, dude?
We can, yeah. You got anything else? You got any, like, you got another band camp or just anything you want to say? You got something?
I'll save it.
Save it for episode 3.
You know what we were talking about the other day is driving, you know, with
Yeah.
So we'll talk about driving.
We'll save that one.
Yeah, we'll save it.
All right.
Then we'll start with that.
Man, like, yeah, that could have. That's a whole other segment.
I'm not a good driver unless I'm going really fast. And then we'll talk about me peeing in Jared's hand.
At the
nightclub in Vegas. So we'll talk about those.
We had stories we wanted to do today, but with cheese. Well,
it's already been like an hour and a half.
Oh, my God.
People are going to be bored.
Yeah, everyone's got to pee. Backs are hurting.
Yeah, so we'll talk about other stuff. Every now and whenever you guys want me, I'll come back.
We'll be having you back. People seem
and,
to enjoy
and
you.
Wait, still, please read the four agreements. And then next time I'm going to have a different book. But this is two times I told you to read it. So if you haven't read it, read it.
Please do. It's a good book.
Yeah.
You got to check it out. And and on that note, be true to yourself. And also, if there's something in your life that you're doing and you're just continuously doing it and you're not sure if it's the right thing, figure out why you feel that way. Maybe it is the right thing, you just don't know. Maybe it's the wrong thing and you got to get out and do something that you really enjoy. Because that would make you
feel good.
There you go.
Hit those cheese sound bites.
Cheese sound bites.
Pork snorkel. More lizards the better. A lot of lizards. We feed the geese.
We're working on it.
Ambulances.
Oh, wait. What about me and Duddy?
Duddy and I are Jews.
There you go.
There you go. Nice.